Well, good morning. On this beautiful rainy day. I know there are some people in this room right now who are quite happy that it is raining. Friends, friendship, something that we all have. In our youth, growing up, we had very close friends, I'm sure. I am sure that you have friends that you have had good times with, that you shared experiences with, maybe got into a little bit of trouble with, but they were good friends, they are good friends, you may still even see them and remember them today. And in our teenage years, I'm sure, you know, Simon and Luke and Jonah, they have very good friends, friends that are meaningful to them. Our husbands and our wives are our friends. Those who are all around us here in the congregation, our families, friends, sisters, brothers, they're our friends. We have reunions, business reunions, school reunions. And why? Because we want to see our friends. My wife met up with a friend of hers that she hadn't seen for over 30 years, who had come up from Florida to visit another friend in Cowansville. And my wife said, you know what? It was just like nothing had happened. The 30 years had just gone straight by, and we just picked up from where we left off. And that was a friend, a friend. There's grief, unfortunately, when we lose a friend. There is grief when we lose a very close friend. We have grief and trauma when we are moved away from our friends. And I must admit, I did that to my kids terribly many times. Between 1980 and I think it was 2005, we moved 13 times. Okay? And my kids, my daughter and my son, they made friends in each of the cities. And some they've maintained and some they've not. But it was not easy on them. And then we have our closest friends. It took me a long time to understand what the acronym BFF meant. But finally, I found that BFF means best friends forever. And I'm sure there are people, at least three of them in this room right now, who have BFFs. All right? They're all smiling behind their masks. I can see it. And then these are friends that you have, maybe only one or two, who you just genuinely can rely on. Good times or bad, you know that when things aren't going well and you need to talk to somebody, you go to your friends, or they come to you. You know, Proverbs has a lot to say about friends. In fact, at least 8 times in the book of Proverbs, and I'm not going to read all 8 of them, but in Proverbs it talks about friends. That a friend loves at all times. Where there is a friend, there are friends who stick closer than a brother. That everyone, and I think this is a tongue-in-cheek proverb, it says, everyone is the friend of one who gives gifts. Yeah, that's true. It's pretty easy to be a friend if they keep giving you stuff, right? But there is the twist of that, you know, or the other side of that coin is that, you know, giving gifts isn't a bad thing. You get friends. Maybe not the kind you want. The pleasantness of a friend springs from the heartfelt advice. You do not forsake, or it says in Proverbs, do not forsake your friend or your friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. And that's true. My daughter lives in Arizona. My wife's sisters live in, one in California, one in Arizona. It would be nice to be with them, but our friends are here. Our friends are here. And that's who we go to. And that's what I would hope you go to. And I know that there are people in this congregation today who have families that are dispersed throughout the country and probably in other parts of the world. But their friends are in this room. their friends are in this room because that's who they go to. That's who they go to. You know, did Jesus Christ have friends? He must have had friends. He was a human being. He lived on this earth. Yes, he was God in the flesh, but he had friends. Yes, he was the teacher, as the apostles would call him, but they were his friends. They were his friends for sure. They knew him. They ate with them. They traveled together. I'm sure they shared many experiences together. You know, the interesting thing about Jesus' friends is they weren't that rich. In fact, Blair just read the story of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, he might have been rich in one aspect, but I'll tell you, tax collectors were not very well-liked guys at that time. Levi, whose name became Matthew, he was another tax collector, all right? But he was a friend of Jesus. And the apostles were fishermen. And they were friends of Jesus as well. All of his followers, including Mary of Clopas, who stood at the base of the cross when he died, was his friend. They knew each other. They shared meals with each other. They shared experiences with each other. They loved each other. They were friends. Jesus is our friend today. He has some promises for us as our friend. He says that he knows our needs. He already knows them. In Matthew 6, verse 8, it says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." He already knows what we need in life. We're valued by him. No matter how unworthy, how guilty, how terrible we might feel, Jesus Christ values us above all else. We are his creation, and he offers eternal life to us. So don't be afraid, it says. You are worth more than many sparrows. We are worth more than many sparrows. And then on top of that, as a good friend, he takes on our burdens. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, it says, "Come to me." Christ is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What a tremendous friend that is. What are some of the characteristics of a friend, a really true friend? And I have three or four, actually I have five of them. The first one is that best friends are committed to each other completely. We commit to each other completely. We don't hold back in any way. Nobody in Jesus' entourage knew where their next meal might come when they were walking with him, going from town to town, or where their next tour stop would be, that they would trust in him, or where they were going. They were totally committed to him. But he provided. There were apostles who stood up for him. They were totally committed to him, and they were totally committed to each other, which was amazing as well. Best friends share the deepest and most secret parts of their lives. That's what best friends do. We have no problem in sharing with a friend what's going on in our life. Maybe we're not totally open and totally revealing, but we will share with those who are closest to us what our trials and troubles are, or what we feel, or what we think. You know, George Eliot wrote, "Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to pour them all out just as they are, the chaff and the grain together, knowing that a faithful friend will take and sift them and keep what is worthy, and then with the breath of kindness just blow the rest away." That's how George Eliot wrote about a friend. And that's what the apostles did. They shared their concerns. They witnessed, They saw healings. They got teachings. They traveled together. They had meals together. They thought together. They were friends. The other thing about friends is no friend, with one exception, is perfect. We are all imperfect, and we recognize each other's imperfections. Yet we love our friends no matter what. We will support them through thick and thin, and we will not judge them. That's how we treat our friends. And the best friends hang in when times get tough. It's the friends that you go to when you're really down in the dumps. Those are your best friends. And the best friends understand you probably better than anybody else. And I hope everyone in this room has a friend, a best friend, who meets these criteria. You know, that perfect friend is Jesus Christ. That perfect friend is Christ himself. We're not perfect in our relationship with him. He knows that, yet we are loved by him regardless of our imperfections. We can share with him our deepest secrets in prayer and thoughts without fear. We can go to him in our distress and we can cry out to him. He understands because he created us, and he is committed to us unconditionally, completely, forever. Amen. What a friend. What a friend. But there's more. There's more to this. Because Jesus Christ has said, and it's interesting how Blair, and I didn't prompt him, I promise you, how he opened up his scripture reading about the type of people that Christ calls. You see, in the Gospels, there is this word, and the word is whoever. Whoever. Jesus describes his friends, and then he uses this word, whoever. It doesn't make any difference your background, the color of your skin, whether you're rich or poor, your education, where you live, what your sins are or our imperfections, our idiosyncrasies, our thoughts, our failings, or our dreams. Christ talks to whoever. In the first one he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That is the gift. That is your best friend giving you his life so you can have eternal life, whoever you are, whoever you are. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, it says, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." You're part of the family. Whoever, anyone, no matter who you are. In Matthew 10, verse 32, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." So Christ, as our best friend, is so happy to say, "Father, look who my friends are." He's proud and values you as in me as a friend. And in Matthew 10, 39, he says, "Whoever finds their life," whoever's called, whoever repents, whoever finds their life, will lose it. We'll have thrown away our old life, and we have tried to go down the path of our new. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Right? If we find their life, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. So our best friend is telling us that you have this choice. If you believe in him, you are saved. If you don't, I'll use the word that people don't like to hear. You are under the judgment of God. You are under his wrath, and the destination is hell. That's it. But your best friend doesn't want you to go there. Your best friend wants him to be with you, for you to be with him. In John 3:36, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." He makes it very clear what your choice is. Your best friend wants you to be with him forever. I want to look at John 4:14, which is the end, or towards the end, of the story of the woman who meets, a Samaritan woman, who meets Jesus Christ at a well. And at the end of the story, he says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You know, the woman at the well, who everyone in her village was gossiping about, by the time Jesus met her, she was probably very despondent, not really happy to show her face. She had 5 ex-husbands and 6 kids, and I'm sure none of the kids looked like her, either, you know, only looked like their fathers. They're all very looked differently. She had decades of loose living, literally, and had left, and she was left in disgrace. And she was living with basically a boyfriend who thought a wedding was a waste of time. This was the woman at the well. I'm sure the gossipers would wag their tongues about her, and that probably explains why she would go to the well at the midday instead of at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, because she wanted to avoid those people who would be criticizing her. You know, the other women filled their buckets at sunrise or sunset. And were it not for the appearance of Jesus, her story would have been lost totally. But he entered her with a promise, or he met her with a promise of endless water and quenchless thirst. And he wasn't about to criticize her of their past. He was just the opposite. Because we know what happened next. Many of the Samaritans in the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, "He told me everything. He told me everything I ever did." He knew her life up to that moment in time. And he said, now, or the villagers came back to the woman and said, "Now we believe. Not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves," because Christ had stayed there for 2 days talking to them. And they said, "Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." You know, nobody else had given her a chance in her life. Nobody else had given her a chance. And Jesus gave her a chance of a lifetime. He came to people like her. He comes to whoever. He came to people like us. You know, it's interesting, and it was mentioned in the prayer a little bit today and in the opening. You know, the next time we meet somebody who is in distress, who is suffering in some way, whether it's depression, whether it's just some challenge in their personal life or those around them, in our day-to-day, whether it's at work or at home, and you meet a person who's just, they just don't know what to do. And that's our opportunity to say, you have a best friend. You have a best friend out there who will be totally committed to you. You have a best friend out there that you can share what you are feeling with. You have a best friend out there that will listen to what you think and feel. You have a best friend out there that not only will they hear you, or he will hear you, he will answer your prayer. There is a best friend out there for everyone, for whoever, as Christ says. Tell them they have a friend. They have a best friend, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants you to be his friend. In John 6, verse 37. Oh, did I miss that one? I missed one. I'm sorry. There is another one. I didn't put it on the screen. I apologize. It says in John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." I will never drive him away. You want to be God's friend, Christ's friend, he will accept you willingly, and he will never push you aside. You're a friend forever. You're a BFF. Right? Incredible. Jesus was a friend to the outcasts. He was a friend to the friendless. He hung out with the unpopular. He hung out with the homeless, the sick, and he came to save the lost, as Blair read at the end of verse 10 of Luke 19. Do you ever want to share your experiences with Christ with other people? You should. Why not? There are times when things are tough, but you can go to him. Can you share your trials? He shares them with you. Can you share your joys? Can you share the fact that you've been protected by him? Have you ever shared those things? Because that's what a best friend does. So in John chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And whoever, anybody, lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe in all the teachings of Christ, his love and his presence? That do you really believe that Jesus Christ is not only Lord, he's not only God, he's not only King, he's not only your master, he's not only a shepherd, he is your friend, your best friend, the one you can rely on 100%. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Really? We should. You know, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says that, be patient. Christ does not want anyone to perish. He does not want anyone to perish. It's interesting, I told Anne on Thursday night, or gave her a little glimpse of what my message was going to be about today. And she says, "Oh, I know a song." And I'm so glad she didn't put it on the list today. Because it's a song or a hymn that we probably all know. Okay? But when you look at the words, it's so meaningful. And that song, of course, is the song or hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I'm just going to put up on the screen here. If you want to read along with me, you can. Just the last few verses. It says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer." That's our friend, our best friend. Father, great God, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, our Shepherd, our Teacher, our friend and our brother, who knows our needs. He knows what's in our hearts. He carries our burdens, who understands our innermost being, and by his sacrifice and resurrection, he has given us the great gift of eternal life, and that whoever we are loved even though we are not worthy, yet he is our best friend. Hear our praise, hear our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.